We are our brother's keeper. Don't think you're not. You want to be, because you don't want to be somebody's puppet. Well, like, this country is going very quickly to socialism. That means you'll do what you're told, and you only do what you're told, and you only do it when you're told, where you can go, what you can do. We need to be praying for this country, but on the other hand, God is faithful. He's able to do the miraculous. He doesn't need a man to do what he's going to do, but he has vested within us all things. That's a difference. You say, well, he's going to do it anyway. No, he's not. Well, what will be? No, it won't. Everybody that succeeds or goes above where they are always reaches beyond where they are. And when they reach beyond where they are with a vision and with a purpose, they go beyond where they were. It no longer is whatever will be. That's a crazy, crazy statement that is running rapid in our intelligent people to be put right into a pin or a mold. Political mold. God doesn't want us to be rebellious, but he does want us to be expressive, because all that God is not just in me. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take all the human race from one age to the next age to the next age to the next age on into eternity to begin to even begin to take and break the grounds of who he really is. He isn't pinned in to our doctrines of sorts. Praise the Lord. Yeah, this really began to touch my heart. I'm gonna have you some pamphlets. I am strong. I want you to repeat after me. Will you? Okay. I am strong. I will not faint. Quit. Lose heart. Turn coward. Or run in the day of adversity, because my strength is not small. I am strong in the Lord, and that makes me superior to the forces of darkness. Therefore, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue or situation that rises against me, I will declare it to be wrong, because I am strong. Because I'm strong. Hallelujah. Now, how many like that? Like to do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to copy this. And I'm going to have them back there so you can pick them up. And so you can put them someplace where you can see them. This is all scripture. Glory to God. Because I'll tell you what. The adversary works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to keep you down, to keep you away from what you've been called to. To keep you away from being a child of God, the Son of God. And as long as you submit to that negative thought, you will not be what you were created to be.
That's right, amen.
My God. And when he says a son of God, we're not all the same. Sons vary. Sons have different gifts. Sons have different callings.
Amen.
Glory to God. Then I'm going to put another one. Probably preach this sometime. Again, I've done it before in past times, but I'll probably do it again. Do you know what happens with doctrine? If somebody comes against what you believe, you get stuck. You get confused because you're stuck in your doctrine. You do. And Satan goes to work immediately. Because there's a little thing called pride or arrogance that slips in because of knowledge. That's why it always has to be tested. Because testing only does one thing. You know what testing does? What we're talking about, the tribulation of God. Do you know the purpose of that tribulation? Do you know what it actually is, the purpose for it? Is it to beat you up? No. It's to establish truth in you.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
It's to establish truth inside of you. That you'll believe it and do it. So there are just multitudes of Christians all over the world, wonderful Christians, and I don't think they're going to go to hell. But I'm going to tell you what, they don't know who they are. And you can tell because they act like it.
Right.
What do you want me to do? What can I do? Who am I, God? You are in Christ. And the same God that created all the universes is inside of you. So when you go someplace,
right,
does he go?
Yes, he does.
Hmm. You're kidding me. That can't. You really mean that? You really believe that he lives inside of you? And where you go, he goes? But it's not politically right.
What do you mean it's not politically right?
It's not politically right to even call on the name of Jesus. You can have any God you want. Just don't have Jesus. You know why? Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that what?
Name the Lord Jesus Christ.
That Jesus Christ is Lord of what?
Of all.
Of everything.
Yes.
And so I'm going to leave these for you. I'll get into my sermon in a minute. And we're just going to go nice and easy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This right here,
yeah.
I got these from my friend in Florida, Randy. In Christ's scriptures, who are you and what you have in Christ? What are you and what you have in Christ? I'm gonna have Gail do these two. And so you hold me responsible to that? And because I'll tell you this. If we need anything today, you need to begin to walk in the confidence that you are the sons of God now on earth. And not that you're going to be someday after you die. See, once again, we got the if, ands, and buts working. Like, you know, who am I, what am I, if, and, but. No. We are the sons of God. Does not yet appear what we shall be. But as he is appearing.
Yes.
See. How does he do that? Tribulation. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son. Why? Because that's the process for healing. You don't get bruised, you don't get healed. Well, I don't live in divine hell, so do I, but I'm finding out that he bruises me. And I do live in divine health in different areas. So do you. Because nobody gives health, nobody gives this stuff but God, nobody else. Not what I do. I find out that no matter what I do, it's not the solution. The solution is that I apply the solution through the authority that is given me. Did you hear that? Now, people will come and lay hands on you, and that may get you started, but it'll never keep you going. And you know what the church has done? Come on and because there is anointings in laying on of hands. Let me lay your hand. I have an anointing, and I do. Let me lay my hands on you. Glory to God. Let me lay my hands on you. And you take the anointing. I mean, I've had people do it for many years in my life. But you got to learn how to be a resident of that anointing. You have to learn how to take that truth and apply it to its measure in your life. Who, me? Yeah, you. And by faith, he will come and stand right alongside of you and show up. My dear God. Absolutely, he will do that. Without reserve, he will do that. But it's not to let people know who you are or that it's your anointing. He shows up and it's him that's living. It's him that's taking possession. It's him that's living instead of. It's him, hallelujah, that's bringing us into a closer relationship with who he is. Lesser doors to have to walk through. Glory to God. Because now, hallelujah, the door has been open. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn to Zechariah, 4th chapter. Hallelujah, Lord, help me. And this was the situation in the book of Zechariah. Israel had totally walked away from God. So much so that they refused to walk with God. Do you understand the reason why they went to Babylon? Because they said the world around them had the truth and their God didn't have it anymore. That their intelligence of man had a superior grip on life than God. Did you understand that? Do you understand? That's why they're there. And there was just a few that were influenced by the Word of God. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But that was enough. Now, if I can help you, you're enough. Are you with me? This is good. This is no time to relax or think, well, I know this. Well, I know we know it. But we don't know how to do it yet. Only in a very, very small measure. See? We have a lot of knowledge. But then, see, Paul said, oh, that I might apprehend you. See, he had all the knowledge in the Word of God. But how do I get it inside to where, you know, I had a guy, you have to excuse me, but this is how I preach, and you just and I'm your pastor, and so you have to get used to it. My neighbor drove by, and he's a Christian. He goes to Cornerstone up there, and I love him. And it's one of the biggest reasons why Cornerstone is the size it is. It isn't just a quality word there that's going to build a church. It's all the laymen and people like that that work behind the scenes that are diligent to see to it that it continues to build. A church is not about just a good word. Church is about a people that know how to grab people and bring them into the house of God. That's what builds a church up. Glory to God. And I thank God for Cornerstone. But he's my neighbor. We've been neighbors for many, many years. But you see, sometimes you're afraid of people, so you don't talk to them. True. Because you think, well, because you know something about the word more than they do, or less, or whatever it might be, that you have no way, no communication. Why should I throw my pearl before swine? I just had somebody ask me that, and I won't tell you who told me that in this assembly. And I said, who's swine? You mean Jesus threw his pearl before swines? You know who the swine there are? It's people that know and won't do. It's the people that think that they know what's going on and they know the Word of God and they know just exactly what it says. They know all the pronunciations, but they refuse to do any of it. So Don't worry about testifying. Don't worry about what you know. Don't worry about what God is got you up to. But anyway, this neighbor stops, and he stops for the first time, I think, ever. And because I was putting in a red bud in my front yard, and he stops. We live in the same road, and they dust us. We live on a gravel road. I mean, gee, it's a crime what they're doing to us. With dust. You know, it's the mercies of God, because I'm outside all the time, that I'm not a ball of dirt. Maybe that's what some people think I am. I don't know. we got talking. There's one guy, he's got a blue Ford 150. It's a pretty blue. He goes through there about 60 miles an hour, maybe 70. And it goes for almost a mile to dust. And he starts talking about it. I says, you know, I said, I can't say that you're not right, but it's just good character building for us. You are not a Christian not to be touched. You're not a Christian not to be agitated. Oh no. So what will we do in those situations? And so what we did was we just agreed. Isn't it wonderful that God can work out the things that by nature are destroying us? But because there is a word that we know that we can agree on that will work for our good in the kingdom of God and the earth in which we live. Apart from us. And so this is where Israel was. I mean, they were just deplorable. If you were God, they were sickening. If you logically look at it, I don't want to get you set on something and you misunderstand me. God loved them, and he kept sending words to them. And even though their behavior didn't respond the way that it could have, should have, it was beginning to respond because a word was sent to them. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it to you. Because here they are. They have quit building the temple. You have to read the whole book of Ezra. I'm not going to go through all this with you. I've taught this. I don't know if I still have the tapes or not, but I've taught the whole book of Ezra, and we see that they got stopped in the middle of the project because, once again, townships, governments, and that they allowed to govern them instead of God. And so God just has these crazy people like prophets. And let me tell you something. You wouldn't want to be a prophet. You wouldn't even want to pray to be a prophet. Because they really go against the mainstream of a lot of things. Because God's will is still going to be accomplished. So look at what happens here. So Zechariah here, in the midst of all this, where the building had stopped, in the temple, something was going on, and God had determined that it be finished, and the people had stopped it, and it, as far and legally, as far as it was concerned, and I'm not going to go through it. You can read the book of Ezra and come up with this. Do a little study. Do a little history work. Zechariah comes in the midst of this. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto you. Honey, oh, you know what? I want you to go back up to one. I'm sorry. You just kind of keep that in mind. I want you to go back up to verse one. Because I want to show you something. And the angel of the Lord, and the angel that talked with me, came again and waked me as a man that was wakened out of a sleep. And said unto me, now you got to realize that Zechariah is a prophet of the Lord. What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, and all the gold, the bowls upon the top of it, and the seven lampstands thereof, and the seven pipes, and the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered, and I spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and he spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, cryings, grace, grace unto thee, unto it. Now, this is where we're going to start. What was really cool is, how many know who Zerubbabel is? Who is he? Governor of who? Governor of Judah. Hallelujah. Those that went back and was building the temple. Who is the great mountain? The Assyrians. Come on. They stopped the building. Because of the cry of these prophets, these minor prophets, they started building they started finishing the temple. Now that wasn't the city, that was the temple. God built the temple before he built the city again. Believe it or not, God is working on a temple builders. We want to see the city, and I do want to see the city, and God does want to see the city, and God sees a city. Whose builder and maker is God. He sees a city before him. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a temple in the midst of it. You know what the temple was? Well, let's go on. Let's go to my PowerPoint. The headstone, prophetically, this point to the completion of the temple, the dwelling place of God in the earth. And we know that his final temple will not be built of stones. Let's go to the second page. Oh, okay. Now, so this is just, if you need definitions, this is the Greek definition. Of the word for grace. It's gracious. It's to gratify. Of a manner of act. An abstract or concrete. Literally. Figuratively. Or spiritually especially. A divine influence upon the heart. And its reflection. In lives including gratitude. Acceptance, benefit, favor. And in your King James. The Gospels many, many times. We'll translate this word, same Greek word, right here, for grace. In the Gospels. We pick up the word grace in the English language as we become more influent on its operation. So we find out that It's a acceptable benefit, favor, gift, grace, joyous, liberty, pleasure, thanks worthy. Come on, beloved. Just give me your time. Because I so want to quicken you the way that the Spirit has quickened me through the night. Hallelujah with this. Glory to God. That you understand that there's something that God has given us called His grace. That is an influence on us. And how much grace you have is not how much you know only. Amen. But it's what you can pour out. What He can pour out of you. As He's pouring out of you. It's His grace pouring out of you. For His people. To His people. To His situations. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what. It's to anything you touch. It's to your animals. Now I know that, you know, we shouldn't talk about things like that. Well, why not? We're living in the earth that God created. And all these things are here. I'll tell you what. You want to train an animal and you want to train them right, you've got to train them in love. You train them any other way and they'll turn on you. You will not be able to trust them. But you train them in love, and I guarantee you, what they learn in love, they'll never break down. Never. And you know what? Same way with you. You know what the church has done? They put a big whip out here with knowledge. And believe me, I'm not, you've got to have knowledge. Please don't misunderstand this. But in all your knowledge, get wisdom. In all your knowledge, man, do something with what you know. Let it be workable in your life. Hallelujah. And it doesn't make any difference how much it is. Everything that you know, hallelujah, He don't take it away from you. God don't want to take, God never takes anything away from you He's given you. Well, Danny, what about sin? Well, let me tell you what sin does. It only has its power in sin. It's only empowered in sin. It has no power if the sin isn't working. Spirit of God in you. Only is as powerful to you is what you're letting it operate in you. So let's let it operate. And then don't let it go. I got a bunch of tools I had. Because I do a lot of electrical work and I have these hand tools. And this pouch is probably quite a few $100s. I don't even know if you can get the same quality anymore. Because the standard's been continually being lowered and lowered and lowered. Because people aren't demanding it. What about your Christian life? Well, it's all right. I'm going to go to heaven. Well, I'm not going to argue the point. But heaven isn't where He wants you right now. It's here on earth. Where He wants you right now is to be showing off who your daddy is. Because at this point in Zechariah, Israel didn't have a chance. And they couldn't pick up weapons and fight an army that was bigger than them. And this country cannot fight what's going on. Hallelujah. But our God is bigger. You can't get sucked up with what the reality of things are when it isn't God. It's an illusion. Our God is bigger than our problems in this country. And as we repent and say, Lord, forgive us and stop doing, I tell you what, I'd like to see Him stop all abortions. That'd be one start. Then they would stop worshiping Moloch. Oh, yeah. And the power of a living God will come and stand in its place. Oh, I don't even want to get into that. But so, this word for grace, it's charis. And it's probably got a different pronunciation, but you just have to do with mine, and you can come with the definition of it. But the definition is here. It's a concrete, it's literal, it's figurative, it's spiritual, especially a divine influence. And up until he rose again and came again on the second chapter of the book of Acts, there was no indwelling of his spirit. It just came on his creation. So I am so pleased. I am so ecstatic that this spirit can work into my intelligence. It can work into my life. It can work into my actions. It can work into my skills. Hallelujah. It can do things that I could never do before. And it has the power to do those things that I can't do with words. It has the ability to look and to go in to the very inner parts. And that person that's crying, the price has already been paid for everyone. My sins have been paid for. You mean even after I've been a Christian? Yes. Even more than that. They've been paid for. He's not out to condemn me. He wants me to start acting like him. A father-son relationship. And in the midst of that, beloved, there's one that would be crying or something like that. And even though nobody else... And how many think that nobody cares? How many have ever been alone? How many like being alone? How many like being alone? Hallelujah. How alone? How alone? How alone? Let me tell you something. One of the little conniving tricky things is, if you want to be alone with yourself, and not bring God into it. Not one amen, but it's time to say amen. Because if God doesn't influence us, who is going to? And do we need his influence? Yes. His grace. Come on. You say you're in the grace. Okay. One of the words is influence. Another of the word is favor. Just don't shut up. Don't be careful that you don't shut yourself up. Because depression is nothing more than you going in to nothing. Nothing bigger or greater than you. Nothing can challenge you or excite you. It's true. It's not good. And so it's all about his grace, glory to God. And his grace came and became that indwelling spirit within us. You're never alone again. You're never alone anymore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's always, his Holy Spirit will always listen to you, no matter how ridiculous it may sound to anybody else. It's not to him. It's not to him. When you come to him, you never have the answer unless it's working. You're just looking at a picture that will go away, or when you set it to the side, you won't see it again until you look at it. That's not what God wants. What God wants is that you share everything with him. And he will come. Though he tarry, wait for him to come. And he will light up you in a way that's eternal. Hallelujah. You know, today we're dealing with stress. We're dealing with all this stuff. You know why? It's no different than it was when I was working. You think it is? I had lots of responsibility. I didn't only have men that I was responsible for. I had a lot of equipment. And equipment always breaks down, so do men. I didn't have the answers immediately, but I had the answer inside of me. He turned on lights, turned on knowledge with the ability to do it. Hallelujah. He turned on the answer, hallelujah, with the product that was there before you. And in the midst of that, glory to God, hallelujah. You can do it, hallelujah. We can do it, beloved, hallelujah. Because he said it, because a greater than any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, anything on earth, hallelujah, has given us the authority to begin to walk into that we can do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The next one, 93. I don't know why, but when I drop this down on the little one, hallelujah, Paul, and this is where we're gonna kick off next Sunday, hallelujah. Paul saw the temple in three dimensions, made of living stones, the lives of human beings, and there's three categories there, and we will. We will endeavor to go into them. Hallelujah. But the first one is the individual believer. So please, if you have friends and you have somebody, hallelujah, just ask them to come. They need to hear this. Because I'm not doing this for myself or even for a sermon. I'm doing this because I've been led by the Lord to deposit within you a greater faith, a greater grace, a greater anointing. Not me, and it is me too. It's happening in me too. But in you. See, I believe in you. I believe in you. I love you. I believe that you got unique gifts of God that I don't have. I believe that there is a church here that's able to house 300. I believe that we can take on that responsibility and do it well. Because I believe in you. I see all the wonderful gifts. So when you come, be interactive on the testimonial part. Even though it may not seem too important, hallelujah, let's bring it out. Let's see that God is reaching out through use. You know what recently has come to me? That you guys don't do nothing. Now listen, I'm not saying that. I said, you don't know who they are. You don't know what they do. So you can't, I can't judge somebody else. Glory to God. I love you. I want you to continue to reach out. Glory to God, like you're doing. And let's see God build this temple. Right here in Highland, Michigan. There's things we could do with the right people. And we will do with the right people. Without hindrance. No politics will be to it. It'll be led by the Holy Ghost. It'll be funded by this house. Things in the community, maybe. There's things that are just everyday things that some have a heart to do. I want to see you do them. I think it's time for us to really grow as a church. I'm really excited. And so ask the people to come. You never know who God's going to call. Just say, come on to church. Come on to church. Come with me. Come on to church. And let's just become a church together. Because that's what a church is all about. Not just about a good word, and we'll always have a good word. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. Because you know, most of that's all engineered by where you might be in your understanding. But every word of God is sure. Every word of God is good. And so, I'm not going to hold you anymore today. If I would get into this, it would take too long, and I'd lose what God has done up to this point. I'm learning. Because I'm just now starting to put my foot down on the throttle. I'm just ready to really give you some stuff. But we got to get this going first. We got to get the fuel running through the lines. You got to know the grace of God has been given to you and to me, us Gentiles. Because up until Paul really is the one that broke the shell, broke out of the shell, and he's the one that said, kill him. You kill Stephen. And in the Gospels, and I'm going to just lay it down. Just let me talk for a minute. In the Gospels, when Judas Iscariot, when there was a hole in the 12, that the disciples had to fill the hole with Matthias or Justice and lots. They just, you know, threw the dice and you pick a number. Fell on Matthias. Never hear about him. Do you? But there was this guy that consented to kill Stephen. Bound, determined to kill this new Christian church. Blinded by a light. I'm going to tell you what it was. Jesus himself. His love for us. We know it now, but we didn't know it. When I was a kid, I didn't know it. For us. His love for us, Larry. Amen. The freedom that we now see. All these things, hallelujah. Because of this man, Paul. Who reached outside. The chosen ones. Oh, we love our knowledge. And we love what God has showed us. But let's realize that He didn't love them any more than He loves you. Or me. or one you sit down and talk to or meet in the street or help maybe pick out a pair of shoes or whatever. You may not think, God, that that's spiritual. But a commandment hinges on that. This is to love your neighbor as yourself. The little things sometimes that we see and we do just automatically, we've not considered that it's the hand of God, because by the grace of God, we wouldn't do that. Wouldn't have time. But because of the grace of God, He had now given us the time. Let's stand. Do we have any needs?